Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Nunzayin Amud Aleph. We can continue with the Mishnah that dealing with Ofot, which is that we had Iluk Shirut by Ofot, and the discussion today is going to revolve around the Shtabru Ragleha, if the legs of the bird were broken. So, how Tzina Dinkure, the Atya Kamed Rovo? There was this basket full of birds that came before Rovo. What type of birds were they? That's the Inkure. Now, Rashi brings down two possibilities of what Inkure means. Either one is shinit shtabru raglehem, markovo lamata, that they had their legs broken below the knee, or even above the knee, but the bone is still there, meaning that the somate gidim and the bone is still intact. That's one interpretation of what inkure are. Then Rashi brings, ubetshuva ta gaonim matzati. He says, I found in the gaonim a different explanation, or it's of shachorhu, that it's a black bird, vishel maimhu, it's a waterfowl, and it has white blotches, bumps on its head. And for that reason, it's called inkure, shehum numar, it's spotted. And in my city, we have a whole bunch of these types of birds that are there. See, either way, these birds that came before Rava went to check them at the juncture of the tendons. We're going to get to this much more extensively later on in the Masechta, but in the leg, as it comes, as Rashi notes, right before the knee, there are 16 chutin. He says there are 16 tendons that come around. It's at the bottom of the femur, samuch l'arkover, right before the knee. So there's this bunch, this junction of tendons, which if they are cut, they are problematic. So that's what Rava was checking, to see if they were still extant, they were still there, so that it would be a kosher animal. Vachshere. Checked all of them, and he said they're fine. So I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Now we have a statement. Shmuta yad bebehema kshera. Now we have it in parentheses here, although it seems to be that Rashi and Tosafot had the girsa here, but it's shmuta d'yerach bebehema kshera. If we have a dislocation of the foreleg versus the hind leg, the foreleg by behema is kshera, whereas the hind leg of the behema is a trefa. Now this is something we've seen before. We saw this with regards to the Boka de Atma, the Shafmi Duchte. We saw this when it came to the femur, the top of the femur that had dislocated from inside of the hip joint. Over there, the Gemara said that it's only true, im nifsako nibe, if the ligaments were torn. And the Gemara went one step further and says not only if it has to be ligaments torn, they have to be mitachle. They have to be totally decayed. They have to be in ruin, those ligaments. So Rashi comments over here and says that this Gemara, when it says Shmuta Tayerech is not simply the dislocation, it's a dislocation plus the ligaments being torn and then decayed. So it's the whole package, that's why it makes it into a trefa. Tosafot seconds that. You can see that in Tosafot Shmuta Tayerech, that he thinks Rashi is right over here, and that's why the Gemara is using the term Shmuta, and not the previous Gemara, which uses the thing, the Shafmi Duchte, that dislocated. It's not just dislocated, it's Shmuta. It's totally removed, and that includes this additional package that would make it into a trefa. The Gemara distinguishes between the foreleg and the hind leg of the animal. With the foreleg, if it dislocates, it's not a problem. Whereas by the hind leg, it is a problem, and it's a trefa. By the bird, we don't have such a distinction. Shmutat Yerach Ba'of, trefa. Shmutat Gaf Ba'of, trefa. So now, in both instances, by the bird, it's problematic. The bird doesn't have four legs. It has the hind legs, which is the equivalent of the yerech. Instead of the four legs, it has the wings, which would work in the same way, the same type of attachment or joint into the center of the body. So here, the Gemara says that shmutat yerech ba'of, trefa, that's similar to the behema. If you have the dislocation of the hind leg, and over here it's by the birds, it's the only leg. If you have that dislocation, then that is a trefa. In addition to that, the shmutat hagaf, which is the wings, if they dislocate, both they're a trefa. So this is different than the behema, where the forelegs and the behema are not problematic. Over here, by the wings, which were the equivalent to the forelegs by the bird, it is problematic. The reason for that is, cheshinan shema nikva hareya. We worry about the fact that the lungs might be punctured by this. And that is because, as Rashi points out, that the lungs sit between the ribs, and the kruma basar is rach. The membrane that's over the flesh at that point is very thin between each of the ribs. And therefore, when you dislocate or it comes out, the bone that is the wing gets pulled out. We're afraid that along with that bone, it's going to rip or tear the krum, the membrane that's there. That's going to cause the lungs to become a trefa. So because of that chashash by the bird, therefore we worry about it, and we say that even the four legs are problematic for the bird, as opposed to the behemah. Now, Shmuel Amar Tivadek, why should we just assume that it's a treifa? Check it. So how do you check it? So Rashi says you put a straw down the beak of the bird, and you inflate the lungs. If you inflate the lungs, and you listen for the fact to see if you actually had torn away from the side here a portion of the lungs, then there'd be a hole, there'd be a nekev, and when you inflated the lungs, you'd hear the air escaping, or they wouldn't inflate. So why don't you test it? That you check the lungs, and see whether they can be inflated or not inflated. Chizkia makes what seems to be almost a ludicrous statement, and the Gemara's have to deal with this, which is that the birds have no lungs. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshto, first of all, there are lungs. Vishna Kala Shoveret, and they are like a leaf of a rose, you know, that they're very small and reddish. Ben Agafayim, they sit between the wings, and we can find them. So Gemara says, Ma Ein Rei Ala Of. How do we deal with this statement of Chizkia that there are no lungs inside of a bird? Elaim with the late klal, if you want to take it literally and say that they really don't have lungs, v'akachazina didle, you can go and look. Empirically, we can open up a bird and we see they do have lungs there. So how could Chizkia make a statement like this? Ella, t'lo mitrif be. Must be what he's saying is, yes, they do have lungs, but the lungs are not relevant in terms of becoming a treifa. V'hatani, don't we have this, we brought this a number of times, this breita from Levi, that treifot, shemanu chachamim bebehema, kenegdan ba'of. That anything that we find by animals, that's a treifa, also is applicable by the birds. Yet, the birds have an excess of what the animals have. That's nishbara etzem, afubishlonikev krum shomach. That if the skull is cracked, even though you haven't punctured the membrane of the brain, nevertheless, that is considered to be a treifa. The Gemara yesterday, on yesterday's Av, relegated that to the water birds or the waterfowl. That's only true by them because they have a much thinner membrane, and that's why it's true there. But you see that if the reyot, the lungs by the behema, have treifot in them, so why isn't that also true by the birds? We see this equivalence is drawn by Levi. Ella, so how are you going to say it? Ein lo, lo linapo, velo lichmar. That they don't have it in terms of the bird falling, and in terms of the bird being singed or scorched. We saw in the Mishnah this problem that arises from the bird either being thrown against the wall, being trampled, so on and so forth, that you have to wait to see if it lives, plus you have to do a bedika. And the same thing when it got scorched. So Chizkia's statement must be suggesting that we don't have to check the lungs in this case, because the lungs don't have treifot by the bird. So Gemara wants to know, my time, why not? Why is it different than a behemoth that we would worry about these issues by a behemoth, not by a bird? So Rav Chana hold verot salota meginot aleha. Has to do with the way that the ribs are situated in an animal versus how they're situated in a bird. When it comes to an animal, the way the ribs are situated is that their width runs from head to tail. The head to tail, the width of the ribs runs along the head to tail section. And that means that when the ribs come around the lungs, they are not very thick from the outside to the inside. They're much thicker from front to side, you know, front to back, front to tail. And that's all their thickness is found from the front to tail, not in the impact from the outside to the in. On the other hand, the bird is just the opposite. The bird's ribs run from side to side. The width of the ribs doesn't run from head to tail, but rather runs from side to side of the bird. That means that the ribs' thickness is between the outside and the internal organs and the rea and the lungs. So that's what he's suggesting over here. That by the bird, the thickness of the lungs is found between the outside impact and the lungs. Whereas by the behema, the width of the ribs is really found in the extent from head to tail, not in the impact from something that hits from the outside. Therefore, the suggestion is here is that the lungs of the bird are better protected than the lungs of the animal. And therefore, what Chizkia's statement is saying is that when it comes to a bird, we're not going to consider the rea to have these treifot because we're not going to worry about impact and we're not going to worry about scorching. Because of that protection afforded to the lungs of the bird. Vaha. Now the Gemara says, can you really say this in Chizkia? Remember what Rabbi Yochanan responded to Chizkia when he says there are no lungs in a bird. Rabbi Yochanan said, Yeshlo, Veshna Kala Shoveret. He says there are lungs. Well, if Rabbi Yochanan is saying there are lungs, the implication is, Ben Agafayim Mechal to Chizkia Severed Lately. Sounds like he's responding to Chizkia who says there are no lungs, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying there are lungs. Ella Amri b'Marava, they say in Eretz Yisrael, Mishmei the Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Midvarav shel b'Ribi. We hear this, what the Gadol Ador Chizkiya says, Nikar shenu baki b'tarnagolim. He wasn't so familiar with birds. And Rashi says he didn't eat so much chicken. He ate more meat than chicken, so he didn't really have any familiarity with birds. And that lack of familiarity made him make such a statement. And again, Rashi actually mentioned it yesterday, that when it comes to this Pesach Halacha, so even though Chizkiya himself was knocked down because he didn't know anything about birds, nevertheless, the logic behind what Chizkiya says and the reasoning still stands. Meaning that the logic and the reasoning makes sense, it's just that in Chizkiya himself, we can't say that because he says they don't have lungs. So even though we might reject this statement of Chizkiya because it's too far-fetched, it's too ludicrous, nevertheless, that which we built because of that statement, we will keep, and that will become the halacha, at least according to Rashi. All right, Amrav Huna, Amrav, Shmutat Yerech Ba'of, Kshera. So now we have a statement in the name of Rav that a Shmutat Yerech is Kshera. Now this is opposed to before we had Amrav Yehuda Amrav, Shmutat Yerech Be'of is Treifa. Now we have two different statements in the name of Rav. We have one in the name of Rav Yehuda that says it's a Treifa. Now we have one in the name of Rav Huna that says it's a Kshera. Samalei Rav Bar Rav Huna, the Rav Huna, V'ha Rabbanon Da'atu Mepumpedita. All those Rabbanon that come from Pumpedita where Rav is found, Amru Rav Yehuda Mishmei the Rav, they quote this statement that we saw before of Rav Yehuda Marav, that Shmutat Yerech Be'of is Treifa. That the dislocation of the femur in the bird is problematic. And it is a treifa. Again, the dislocation here means including the tearing of the ligaments, the decay of those ligaments. Samalei Bri. Nara, nara upashte. Every river flows its own way and moves its own way. And generally, this is used, both here in the Gemara, it's used by the Rishonim as well, to say nara, nara upashte is when we have multiple minhagim. And there are multiple minhagim about this. We say that each minhag is based on something that is valid. Each community has its own minhag, and therefore we're not going to paskin or we're not going to be machria because all of these options are valid. So over here, the Gemara is using it somewhat in that way, but not totally, which is that Rav himself believed that when it comes to Shmuta Tayerach, it's Kshera. But he went to the city of Pumpedita, and when he got to Pumpedita, the minhag in the city was Beoser Shmuta Tayerach. So Rav, even though he believed that Shmuta Tayerach was Kshera, he didn't want to be matir something in a place where they said it was asur. He didn't want to change the minhag that existed there. So since he didn't want to change that minhag, he went on to paskin then and say that it was psula. So Rabbi Yehuda, who saw this from Rav, thought that that's what Rav really believed. Because he saw Rav and he saw the way that they conducted it in Pumpedita. He says it must be that Rav thinks that it's asura. In truth, Rav Huna saw what the true colors of Rav were. The true cause of Rav were that Rav believed it was Kshera. Just the only issue was that he was in Pumpedita. And because he was in Pumpedita, that forced him to paskin that it was a treifa. Also Rabbi Ava, Ashkechei the Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, the Kabodik b'tzomet agidim. So Rabbi Ava goes and he finds Rabbi Yirmiya checking the tzomet agidim, the junction of the tendons. Assuming here, it seems like that the bird had some dislocated leg. And now, or it was something cut off, like we saw with Rava before, and he's checking the tzomet agidim. He says, Amalei, lamalei the mar kulehai. What are you going through all this trouble for? Rav Huna Marav Shmutat Yerech Ba'of Kshera. We have an explicit statement from Rav Huna Marav that this is totally fine. Dislocated legs are fine. So again, either you think that the case here is a case of a dislocated femur in the bird, and that's why he's saying to him, listen, I don't know why you're checking the Tzomet Gidim. This is Kshera, period. Or you can say he was extrapolating and saying, listen, if the Marav says the dislocated leg is fine, which means the entire leg is taken out, then it's fine. Then here, when you have just a broken leg or something cut off, what are you checking the Tzomet Gidim? Of course it's okay then. So Amalei, Ana Matniton Yodano. I know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what Rav Huna says. I'm a Rav. I know the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you have an animal where it's cut off below the knee, Kshera. I mean, Arkova Lamalo, if it's cut off above the knee, then it's a Psula. And the same is true if the Tzomet HaGidin is taken out or removed, that's also problematic. So I'm dealing with that. That's what I'm looking at. That's the Mishnah that I know. I'm checking the Tzomet HaGidin to see if it's okay, to see if it's there and everything's fine. I'm just basing on the Mishnah. V'amar Rav Ala, and he says, Rav, comment on this, v'chein bof. That not only is it true in the Mishnah about a behema, but it's also true for fowl. Mar says, Ihochi kasha d'rava d'rav. I mean, it's not even the Gemara. It's Rabbi Abba saying to him, listen, now I have a steer in Rav's position. So Ishtik, he had nothing to say, he didn't know what to say. So then Amarlei, so Rabbi Avo now suggests, Dilma, Shanilei ben Shmuta lechatucha. Maybe Rav differentiates between something that is dislocated versus something that is cut or severed. in that you can dislocation and taking out a tali from the top, that is okay. That'll be a ksheira. Nechtecha, if it's cut, then it makes a difference where it's cut. Because we know that. We've seen this a number of times, Rav Ashi's statement, that it depends where the animal's cut. You can cut it in one place, it'll be a treifa. Cut in another place, it'll be a ksheira. So maybe the cutting or the severing of the leg is different than the dislocation. Samalei, va'at mefarash shmaitato derav. You went ahead through logic and through your understanding explained the position of Rav. Beferush amar Rav. That's exactly what Rav said. Shmuta ksheira chatucha psula. That's exactly what he said. That differentiation, that when it comes to shmuta, dislocation, it is ksheira. When it comes to chatucha, it is psula. And then we'll have to draw that distinction between the two different situations. Again, it would matter what they were looking at exactly in this case. It's not clear what they were looking at. Were they looking at shmuta and a chatucha? And that's what Tosafot spends time on. How could they confuse the two? They're really totally different things. How were they confusing shmuta and chatucha in the first place, even only to come to the conclusion that they are different? The Gemara says, "Valti tama," and don't be surprised by such a consideration. "De shari hotcha mikan," you cut it over here, "umeita v'chotcha mikan v'chaita." We've seen this a number of times. Cut it in one location, it dies. When cut in another location, it lives. So Rashi gave two examples. And the previous two times we said this. First time we saw it, Rashi says the example is if you cut the leg below the arkova, or in the place where the tzomet ha-gidim are exposed, then the thing's a treifa. If you cut it above the tzomet ha-gidim and take it out entirely, then it's a ksheira. So over there, it seems counterintuitive. You cut it at the higher location, it lives. You cut it on the lower location, it dies. So that's one way example. The other example he gave yesterday is if you do a shchita, if you cut, slice the simanim, or you slice the carotid artery in the neck, the animal dies. You slice off the entire shoulder of the animal lives. So again, something that seems counterintuitive. A small slice kills the animal, a large slice of the animal, no problem. So again, those are both the idea that you can cut in different places and have different impact on the animal. So don't be surprised by the fact that you can have this thing be dislocated from the top and be out of place, and it'll be like as if it's taken out totally, it's as if the leg doesn't exist, and that's a ksheira. And nevertheless, when I cut it down below, and then it'll be a treifa. That's not a chiddush, that's something that happens in treifot. Treifot aren't necessarily logical. They're all about the specific organ, limb, location. Those are very important in treifa. And that's why we'll come out to this conclusion that there's a difference between shmuta and chatucha in this case. Kisalik Rabbi Ava, when Rabbi Ava came up to Eretz Yisrael, then Ashkechel Rabbi Zeira, he found Rabbi Zeira over there. Now Rabbi Zeira also had learnt back in Bavel, had gone up before Rabbi Ava to Eretz Yisrael. Diyati v'kamar, Amar Rav Huna Marav, shmuta diyarach ba'ov, treifa. Now he's quoting something in the name of Rav Huna. We have Amar Rav Huna Marav that Shmutat Yerach Ba'of is Ksheira. Here, Rabbi Zeira is quoting it as Shmutat Yerach Ba'of Treifa. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yavah says, L'chaye Demar, Yom Adasolik Mar Lahacha. He says, from the day that you left, and that Rabbi Zeira left before Rabbi Yavah, from the day that you left, Havalan Pitchon Pe, Kamei de Rav Huna, we had the opportunity to speak to Rav Huna, V'shalinu. We asked him about this case of Shmutat Yerach. I mean, somehow we got the conversation onto Shmutat Yerach. And we asked him, Ramalam Shmutat Yerach Ba'of Ksheira. And he told us, that's what he believes, that it's Ksheira. Vashkachte Nami L'Rav Yirmiya Ba'ava. And now he tells the whole story about what happened with Rav Yirmiya Ba'ava that we just saw. Diyot Ibekav Bodek B'Tzomet HaGidim V'Akshi Le'lo Sarva Lamar Hadam Rav Huna Marav Shmutat Yerach Ba'of Ksheira. I found him checking the Tzomet HaGidim. I asked him, don't you hold of Rav who says that it's Ksheira B'Shmutat Yerach? I'm like, Ana Matnidan Yadan. He says, I know a Mishnah. Behemosh Nechtechu Raglag Menarkov L'Mata Ksheira Menarkov L'Malo Psula. Right, that depending where the cut is on the animal, that'll make a difference as to whether it's a treifa or not. Mechein, Shinital Tzomet Agidim. Or if you take out the juncture of the tendons. So Rav Marav Allah, Mechein Ba'of. That the problem is by Of the same as it is by Behema. Rav Milay, Yehochi Kehashad Rav Adarav. Now I have a steer in Rav's position, Ishtir. He was silenced by this. And I said to him, Dilmoshan Ali Rab, Ben Shmuta Luchatucha. He says, maybe there's a distinction between Shmuta and Chatucha. Ramle, At Befarish Maita the Rab, you are explaining it through logic. But Befarish Marab, you're right. Rab said that explicitly, Shmuta Kshira, Chatucha, Psula. He had an explicit statement of this. Zeba'at Mabiyadich. He says, what do you have? So Rabbi Ab is telling him everything that he learned till the time that he reached Rabbi Zeira in Eretz Yisrael. He says, you, Rabbi Zeira, now who went ahead of me to Eretz Yisrael, maybe you learned something here in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you have some information that you can share with me. So that's what he says to him. So these are all these memorot are saying that Shmutat Yerach Ba'of are a treifa. The Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Il Malei Hava Rabbi Yochanan Ba'atro. If Rabbi Yochanan was in a city, the Oru Ba Chavruvata Lehetero, that the Chachamim or the Chavirim in that city were matir the Shmutat Yerach, Lo Parkis, He wouldn't have shook, he wouldn't have been shaken, he wouldn't have been upset about it. After bringing the memory from Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to Shmuta Teyach Bahof, that it's a treifa, he then says that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have a lot of ground to stand on, because he has some big guns on the other side that say that it's a kshera. So despite the fact that he said this, if he was found in a city where they were matir, he wouldn't have a lot to say. Lo parkis, he wouldn't have been, you know, shaken up by it. He wouldn't have a lot of legs to stand on over there, because let me give you the people that are on the other side of this. Damar Rabbi Chanina, I'm a rabbi. So now we're talking about Rabbi Chanina and rabbi. Shmutat yerach bof kshera. So here you go. There's a Rabbi Chanina and rabbi on the other side saying it's kshera. Rabbi Yochanan, that's some pretty big firepower on the opposite side. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would have to just swallow it if he got to a city that said it was kshera and say, okay, they hold like Rabbi and Rabbi Chanina, even though I paskin the other way, he can't stop them or he wouldn't be able to change that fact. Now, we had a case where Pertana Golet Haitalo the Rabbi Chanina, a Rabbi Chanina had a chicken, Shenishmita Yarchala, that had exactly this problem, that had this dislocated leg. Via Lifnei Rabbi, the femur was dislocated, and he brought it to Rabbi, Vehitirolo, and he said he was matirit. So what does he do? What does a good posek teacher do then? He puts it in formaldehyde. Umalcha, so he salts it up. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Moriba Halacha LaTalmidim. And he kept it around to show the Talmidim, Zehiterli Rebbe, Zehiterli Rebbe. He used to show the Talmidim and show this Rebbe was Matir. This was Rebbe's Matir, so he had the example in front of him so he could show the students, this is exactly what he was Matir. Now, the Gemara concludes, V'lei Dilchata, Kahok Chanish Maitata. The Halacha is not like any of the thing that was said until now. Rather, the Halacha is like this situation in which Rabbi Yossi ben Urai asked Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Dirat kaneh bekama, that if dirat you cut out or carve out a section of the trachea, how much has to be carved out in order for it to be a trefa? Amalo, Mishnah shlema shaninu. It's an explicit Mishnah, ad kisar talki. We learned this, that it's an isar. If the trachea is missing the size of an isar, then it's a trefa. Barlo amarlo, v'lo rachel haita achat haita b'shchuna tenu. We had a new in our neighborhood, Shinagdar Hakaneshala, that had this puncture, had the portion of the trachea missing, meaning the size of an isaritalki. Vasula krumim shokana, they made her a reed pipe, v'chaita, and it lived. So whether they inserted the reed pipe, which it sounds like, they inserted the reed pipe down the trachea to replace, almost to become the outer walls that replaced the trachea, or whether they used that to wrap around the trachea in order to hold it and patch it up, either way, they created a way to cover the hole in the trachea, and the bird lived. Amarlo, ve'al da'at samich. And that is what you're going to base your whole position on? This case of this ewe that was taken care of in this way? Ve'alo halacha ruvachat b'yiso shmutat yerach bof trefa. So this is the statement we're going to hold like, which is that it's halacha ruvachat b'yisrael. It's a commonly understood, well-known halacha, that when it comes to a dislocation of the erech, of the femur, in the birds, in the fowl, it's a treifa. V'tanagol etaita lo, the Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafto, shenishpata yerech shala. We have a tanagolet, this chicken, that was belonged to Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafto, that had a dislocated yerech. V'asala shfoferet shel kaneh. Again, they used a reed, some sort of piping, to help the bird. V'chaita, and it was remedied, and it was able to live. Elamayit chalameimar. So how are you going to answer these two cases? I have two cases here where we know we have an absolute halacha that shmutat hayerach is psula, yet we were able to fix this bird, this chicken was able to be remedied. And we know that when it comes to a treifa, one of the rules of the treifa is that it cannot be cured. A treifa is something that's irreversible. Well, if you can cure it and if it lived, then it must not be a treifa. So how do we explain this case by the bird? What do you have to say? Ma'idach ha-meimer, toch yibet chodesh hava. It was within 12 months. So hachanami, also the case by the puncturing, the removal of a portion of the kane, of the trachea, so it's over there that happened toch yibet chodesh hava. That answer means that we know that a trefa cannot live for 12 months. So when we said that these animals survived, it means that they survived, but they died within the 12 months. It means that they survived for a certain period of time. They did not die immediately, but they did die before the expiration of the 12 months. So again, it's not a raya. They did live. They lived for a short period of time, but they didn't make it over the threshold of 12 months. So it means that they are trefa. Right, so that's a very good question, which is not so simple to answer. You're asking, okay, what happens if today, in modern medicine, there are some of these trefot, which we're actually able to rehabilitate, remedy, and they last more than 12 months. So does that make them ois trefa now? Because the din of a trefa, and we saw this in the Gemara, like for the instance where they hit the gid and nasheh, where they shot out the kidneys, where it's not supposed to die, it's not a trefa, and they die. So the Gemara answer is there, well, because there you have some. If you brought in some sort of medicinal cure to them, they would have lived. So it sounds like if something can live, if it's reversible, then it's not a treifa. So your question is, now we have all these, sometimes we have ways to get around this, and it wouldn't be a treifa anymore. That's a very difficult question, because we know that the treifot are locha the Moshe Mitzinai. If the locha Moshe Mitzinai says these are treifot, then we said the Gemara almost accepts it, and that's where generally the locha accepts it, they accept it blindly, that that is. These treifot are, and if you're able to cure it, there must be some quirk, or some sort of difference between what the treifot are and what's happening here, that allows it to live or make it through. But the assumption is that these are treifot, irrespective of our ability today to extend the lives of these animals even beyond that 12-month period. Obviously, you could argue it makes sense, but it's also a very dangerous precedent, which is that you could argue that if you could solve them, that they aren't treifot anymore. But even though that's very appealing in terms of understanding the Gemara, it's also a very dangerous precedent, which means that the Gemara or the Halacha of Moshe Mitzinai could be changed, and I don't think that's the path that we want to go down, or that's a direction that we want to enter. So Amru Alav, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Sha'askan bedvarim haya. So here we just had the story about the chicken of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, how he, for the bird, could rehabilitate. So about this, they say about Rabbi Shimon Lazar that he was a askan. Askan here means a tinkerer, an experimenter. Why? Vaya usid davar lotzimi lubosha Rabbi Yehuda. And he did some experiment to prove that Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is found in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah the difference in types of feathers. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's feathers, outer feathers are missing, fine, it's not a treifa. But if you take out notzah, you take out the down, the feathers without the quills inside of them, those feathers will make it into a treifa. So Rabbi Shimon al-Azhar wanted to prove Rabbi Yehuda wrong. So this is what he did. He went ahead. Nitla notzah psula. The Rabbi Yehuda says that if you take out the down, psula. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, he had a bird, shenitla notzah shala. It was missing all of its feathers, including the down, the softer feathers on the inside. So what did he do with it? He nicha b'tanur. He placed it into the oven. Vitala aleha b'matlit shel tarsim. And then he draped over it an apron. This is a leather apron worn by the bronze workers. That's why tarsim is according to Rashi. Tosafot brings down, Rashi's interpretation says that it makes sense. The Aruch says the same thing. Although then he brings down alternatives because the Gemara in other places use the word tarsim for different reasons. Like by Big Tan and Teresh, it calls them tarsim. Over there, it's talking about, it seems like a country or a nation or a language that they're speaking about, not a specific guild or type of craft. Also, the Gemara Megillah says, seems to say, there's a stira that one says that the Tarsim and Gardim had separate shuls. In another case, it says that the Tarsim and Gardim seem to be one unit, which would make them into either weavers, right, or leather workers, something else. So that's a question here about these Tarsim, what exactly it is. But what Rabbi Shimon Elazar was trying to do is simulate the effect of feathers. What do the feathers do for the bird? They keep it warm. So how did he simulate that? He put it into the oven, and he covered it with this apron, which was a thick, heavy leather apron. And that way he kept the bird warm. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, it grew back. Its repaired wings, its new feathers that grew, were better even than the first ones that it grew. It had a better coat of feathers after this experience than it did beforehand. So he proved that it's not a treifa when you take out the notzah, when you take out the down. Now the Gemara says, V'dilma kasava Rabbi Yehuda treifa mishabechet. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds something that we'll get to a little bit in a couple lines in the Gemara, that a treifa is mishabechet. That even though a treifa will die within the 12 months, it does not mean that it's automatically will start to deteriorate right away. It might be that there might be some improvement in the animal's condition. Now, what you're going to see in the Gemara in a second is something that we know, which is that the idea of the body compensates. That for some reason there's a limb in the body or a sense in the body that has a problem, then the other senses or the other limbs pick up that deficit. And they actually overcompensate, and they're more powerful because of that deficit in the other limb. And that's what's being described here in a treifa. In a treifa, where there's something that goes wrong in one part, the other limbs or the other areas of the animal actually might be mishabechet. They might improve or be compensating for that which is missing in the treifa. That's what Gemara is suggesting over here. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds of that. So therefore here, even though the animal is a treifa, maybe it got better because mishabechet, that's the idea. Well, that's what happens to a treifa. The Gemara's answer is, wait a minute, that only makes sense. When do we say that at mishabechet? That's when you're dealing with something outside of that treifa itself. But within that treifa itself, you would never say it's mishabechet that gets better. The idea that there's some other limbs or organs are compensating for the deficit. It's not that that limb gets itself will get better afterwards. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta's proof is actually a good proof. His experiment is a good experiment because within the feathers itself, the place where the treifa was, they grew back even better. And even if you hold Mishabechet, you wouldn't say it in the treifa itself that you're speaking about. And that's the Gemara's answer over here. That you can't say. It wouldn't work. Mishabechet only works if it's something outside of the treifa. But if the treifa itself grows back even better, that's not called Mishabechet. That's called not treifa. So now, Mayaskan Bidvarim. What does it mean that Rabbi Shimon Chalapta was an experimenter? He was a tinkerer. Amar Rabbi Misharashid Dichtiv. It was because of this. Is this pasuk in Mishlei? It says the basic lech el nimala atzel. It says the lazy one. Go see what the ant does. Rei derachah v'chacham. Go see its ways and get a little wiser. Wisen up from what you see from the ants. Asherein lakatzin shoter moshel. They have no officers. They have no policemen. They have no rulers. So there's nobody telling the ants what to do. Tachin b'kayitz lachma. Nevertheless, in the summertime it prepares its bread. I mean that the ants go about their work and do their business, even though there's nobody driving them to do it. They are self-driven to go and do this. They don't have any ruler, and they go ahead. So you, lazy man, take note from them that you should get to be a self-starter as well and get yourself going. So now, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalapta wants to say, are you sure there's no ruler about, how do you know there's no king of the ants? How do you know there's nobody leading the ant farm? So that's what he wants to go and test. Now, even though the fact that we saw this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Perka Chelek, that when some of the students said, oh, we want to go see if this is really true, and then they saw it, that it was true, but they had an experience where they saw it was true, and they had laughed at Rabbi Yochanan when he had said it originally, when they came back, they said that you're a kofir, because you have to see it to believe it. So now, over here, we're not going to say Rabbi Shimon Chalapta is trying to do that, to see it, to believe it. He's coming to prove that which Shlomo said is true. Rather than questioning it and looking for a proof, he says he knows it's true. He just wants to show, and he wants to bring evidence to the fact that it's true. So he goes ahead and he does this. Goes to a field, and he says, Amar Israel Echse, Ivade Hudalit Luhumalko. I'm going to prove that they really don't have a king. Azal B'Tkufat Tammuz, he went during the summer solstice. Parsei L'Grime, Akina Dishum Shamanane. He went ahead and put his coat, stretched his coat over, what we call it, an anthill that was there. The Nafak Atach Adminayu, one of the ants came out, saw that it was all shady outside. Ednach Bei Simana, went ahead, Rabbi Shimon Chalapta marked him with some sort of sign that he knew that there was this ant. Ala Marluhu Nafal Tula. This ant went back into the ant hole. He went in and he told all the other ants inside, listen, there's shade outside, let's come on out. So Nafku Vatu, all of them followed him out again. In the meantime, Rabbi Shimon Chalapta pulled his coat, and all of a sudden it was sunny again. Nafo Shimsho. All of a sudden it was bright light outside. Naflu alei v'katle. The other ants teamed up, or ganged up on this ant that had brought him the news and killed him. Because he had lied, quote unquote lied to them, and said it was shady outside. They find it sunny, so they killed him. So Amar Shmamina leit luhu malko. It's got to be clear that they have no king here. If they do have a king, Harmana de malko lo libo, then wouldn't they need permission? Wouldn't they need some sort of acquiescence from the king in order to kill him? How could they just jump on him and kill him right away? They'd have to get permission from the king to kill him. The fact that they didn't go and look for any advice or get a message from the king shows you that each person is doing their own thing. There is no king over there. So he says, "I'm a shomim not leidluhu malka. I'm a leirav acha brei the ravol the ravashi v'dilma malka havu ba'adayu." Maybe the king was out there with them. I mean, what do you mean they had to go get permission from the king? The king was there, so he could grant them permission right away. So that's number one. Inami. Harmana de Malka Habanakite. They were already caring. They had a letter from the king that already said, do what you need. Take care of this situation. Yeah, this guy's been a troublemaker before. You guys take care of him. And you have full permission granted. So maybe they already had permission of the king. Inami. Ben Malka de Malka Habu. Maybe it was in between reigns. They caught him on a bad day. Caught him on a day between the death of the previous king and before they appointed or anointed the new king. Because we have that pasuk in Shoftim that says, "Dichtiv b'yamim ahem ein melech b'Yisrael." There was that time there were no king amongst Israel. Ish hayasher b'nav yaseh. It was anarchy. People did exactly what they wanted. So to over here, it's between rulerships, it's between kings, and therefore everybody acted on. No, there were vigilantism in the ant farm. They went ahead and took care of whatever they needed to do because their king wasn't around. So you can't prove anything from your experiment, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Hello, what do you have to say? El samuch, ahem nuto de Shlomo. You gotta be somech on the word of Shlomo. Shlomo, we know, had ruach hakodesh. We know that he wrote and his book is found in Tanakh. And therefore, if you read it there, you gotta believe it. We gotta be somech on Shlomo for this, on the truth of Shlomo. Right now, Amar Rav Huna, this is something that we've actually taken for granted until now. But here we have the explicit statement of Rav Huna, that siman the treifa yud bet chodesh. The test for a treifa is 12 months. If the animal can live out 12 months, it's not a treifa. If it dies prior to the 12 months, then it most likely was a treifa. Meitavei. Sima. Now we have a question on this statement of Huna, because now we have a Tanaic statement in the Tosefta. Similar to Trefa. How do I know something's a Trefa? Kol she'eino yoledet. If it doesn't give birth, then it's a Trefa. As the Tosafot points out here, that it doesn't give birth, it's not automatically a Trefa. There are many animals that don't give birth. It doesn't make them a Trefa. But rather we know, if it does give birth, it's certainly not a Trefa. So that's, it'd be the positive statement. If it gives birth, then it's certainly not a Trefa. If it doesn't give birth, then you have to be choshesh with the fact that maybe it is a Trefa here, because the fact it's not giving birth. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishabechat ve'olechet b'yaduyah she'kshira. If the animal's condition improves, then it's a kshira. Mit navna ve'olechet. If the situation deteriorates as it moves along, b'yaduyah she'trefa, then it's definitely a Trefa, because it's heading downhill, and things are getting worse each day. Rabbi Omer, here's the third opinion. Siman the Trefa, shloshim yom. The test or the threshold is 30 days, not 12 months, but rather 30 days. So now we're in a second, we're going to have the discussion about these three opinions. But what you see here in the Tosefta is that you have three opinions, none of which accords with the position of Rav Huna. You have the position that it has to do with whether they can birth. You have the second position is it has to do with whether the condition improves or deteriorates. And the third position is 30 days. Rav Huna says 12 months. He matches with none of these Tanaim over here. Some are low. Balo harbe mitkaimot shtayim v'shlosh shanim. So don't we have many animals that last for 2 or 3 years, even though they are trefot? So what's your proof for that? Rabbi's saying 30 days, they're saying 2 or 3 years. Gemara says, Tanahi, happens to be a machloket tanayim, this issue. Detanyo, we have a braito, v'gugolet yesh ba nekev echad aroch. If in the skull there is a puncture, a hole, that is long, longwise, it's not circular, but longwise, afilu nikavim arei, even if it's multiple punctures of small holes, mitzarfim lemelo makdeach. They can add up to the amount that would make it into a trefa, which is lemelo makdeach, the amount of a drill or a chisel that could fit into the skull. So if you can get that through the hole, then if you add all the empty space or hole space there together and get through that amount, then it's a trefa. Amar Rav Yosi ben Meshulam, Masa b'Invul, it's the name of a place called Invul, but Echad Shenif Chata Gilgalato. He had some sort of fracture in his skull, some sort of cracking in his skull. Vasulo Chiduk Shel Kuruya. And they made for him dried out gourd. They used a piece of dried out gourd to fill in the missing piece of his skull. V'chaya, and he lived. So you see here that you can fix up trefot. So I'm a little Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So here now we hear Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Misham Rayo? How do you bring a proof from that? Yimotachama Haya. That was the summertime. As soon as it came to the wintertime, he had mate, he died. So you see from here that it makes a difference. The weather makes a difference. Some ailments or some trefot are affected more by the heat of the summer. Other ailments or trefot are affected by the cold of the winter. And that's why you need the 12 months of Rav Huna. 12 months of Rav Huna take you through all the different seasons. And that would allow you to determine what is a trefot or not a trefot over here. And that's the answer. The Tanai is, the Machloket Tanaim is here, Rav Shimon Elazar is of that opinion. Rav Huna is following that position, Rav Shimon Elazar, that you need a full year of seasons in order to determine whether an animal is a trefa or not. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Halacha Trefa Yoledet Umishabechet. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says that the halacha is that a trefa, first of all, can give birth, and number two is that its condition does improve. So those can't be the rayot, or at least according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, since those two things happen by a trefa, they can't be proof or a determination that it's a trefa based on that, and you have to use some other guiding principle to figure out what the trefa is, like the 12-month threshold or the 30-day threshold, whichever threshold you're going to use, but the fact that its condition improves is not a rayo, that it's not a trefa. The fact that it gives birth is also not a rayo, that it's not a trefa. All right, we're going to stop over here because the next statement of the Gemara continues into pretty far into tomorrow's daf, so we're going to stop over here, and we'll continue with the sugya of trefot, or figuring out trefot tomorrow. All right, have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow. Please get